Isaiah chapter 42 opens with these words. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Behold my servant. Behold. This, like many of the chapters in Isaiah's prophecy, is wonderfully rich in gospel truth. How clearly doth Isaiah set forth the gospel? How clearly does he set forth Christ, God's servant, before our gaze? How much of the truth of the gospel is shown here? The state of man, as those who are blind, as those who sit in darkness in the prison house, and the great Saviour that God has sent to deliver the blind, the prisoner, and those that sit in darkness, to bring them light, to bring unto them salvation, to make the blind eyes see. Behold my servant. What do these blind eyes see when they're opened? My servant. My servant. Except the Lord open your eyes, you will never see Christ, the Son of God. You will never see God's servant. You will never comprehend. You may know his name. You may hear him described. You may hear many preach the gospel and know who Jesus Christ is in the letter. You may be able to say who he is and describe him. You may be able to say, well, he said he was the Son of God. You may say that he came into this world, that he was born, he lived, he died. You may say he was crucified and rose again. You may know it all in the head. and yet remain blind. You've never beheld him for yourself. You've never had your blind eyes open to see him. You know all about him, but you've never seen him. Is that you? What God says in his gospel, in power, by his Spirit, behold my servant. Look. Look, all ye ends of the earth. Look unto Christ and be ye saved. Have your eyes open. See. I have sent my Son. I have set him forth. I have preached my gospel to the four corners of the earth. I have set him forth as a Saviour, for he shall save not just Israel, but the Gentiles. He shall call his people out from amongst the Jews and amongst the Gentiles. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Are you a Gentile? Are you a heathen? Are you a sinner? A rebel before Almighty God? Are you blind? Are you amongst those that say you see when you are blind? Those that say you're religious. Those that say you follow Jesus Christ and you've never beheld him. Behold my servant. Behold. Behold, what a word. Behold, look. Look steadfastly. Look intently. Look continuously. Don't just glance. Don't just look at Christ once a week in the meeting. Or once a day, or whenever it might be, whenever you pick up a Bible. Don't just glance. Don't just pass by. But behold, set your gaze upon him and never take it away. Look intently unto the Saviour every day. Every hour, every moment, in every circumstance, in every trial, in every trouble, in every distress, in every calamity, in every war, in every disaster, in every illness, in every bereavement, in every triumph, in every success, whether you are bound or whether you are abased, whatever you are in, whatever your circumstance, whatever state you're in, behold my servant. Look not to yourself. Look not to man. Look not to the church. Look not to the world around you. Look not to the power and the strength of man. Look not to religion. Look not to the form. Look not to your prayers. Look not to your righteousness. Look not to your good deeds. Behold my servant. Behold. Look. Steadfastly, continuously, every day. Behold. How can you behold? How can you look to Christ every day? How can you see him when he's not here to be seen? There was a day when men saw him. He was born in Bethlehem. He was taken by his parents to Jerusalem. He grew up. He began his ministry. He met the disciples. He met the fishermen at the lakeside. He called those men to follow him. He taught. He went up onto the mount where the people gathered, and he taught in that discourse known as the Sermon on the Mount. Many heard him. Many were healed of their sicknesses. He touched the eyes of the blind. He touched the ears of the deaf. He made the lame to walk. He even called out to dead Lazarus in the grave, "Come forth, Lazarus," and Lazarus lived. Many saw him in those days. And many who saw him in the end cried out, "Away with this man, crucify him." And they pierced the Son of Glory. They pierced the Prince. They pierced the Son of God. They nailed him to the tree. As the hearts of man have done, generation by generation by generation, up to the present day and into the future. There's not one man, woman or child on this earth who in their heart has not said of this man, "Away with him." And has not by their sin and by their rebellion and by their disobedience, both towards God and towards their neighbour, both towards their neighbour and to their parents and their kinsfolk, and to their teachers and to their employers, and their rebellion against all men and their rebellion against God by their indulgence in sin, they have nailed Christ to the tree. By your rebellion, you crucified the Saviour and you never beheld him. In much the same way as those Jews in those days under whom Christ came, who saw him with the eyes of the flesh, said, "Away with this man," and crucified him. Because though they saw the man, they never saw the Son of God, who Christ was. They saw, but they did not behold. They heard, but they never heard. Some were healed by him and knew the power of God in the physical realm and still deserted. You say, "How can I behold when he is not here?" Well, there were those who were there who'd never beheld. They saw, but they never beheld. They never saw him for who he was. Because they didn't have that required to see him, which was faith in their heart within. They could see the external, they could see the man, but they could not see him for who he was, because God hadn't opened their hearts. They needed faith to see. And they were in the same state that you're in if you have no faith. You're at no lesser of an advantage today than they were. Behold, you say, "How can I?" By faith. Should God open your eyes by his gospel and put faith in your heart to see, then you will behold. What brings the faith? What brings the sight? What brings the new life within? Is the gospel. And those in the generation in which Christ lived upon this earth heard the gospel. And you in your generation, 2,000 years hence, by the mouths of those that Christ sends and through whom he speaks by his Spirit, hear the gospel. It's exactly the same. They needed to hear his voice by the Spirit of God to have their heart opened, to have faith enter in, and to have their blind eyes opened that they might see by faith. And they heard that and they saw by the gospel. And you today, should Christ send a preacher your way with his gospel and the power of that gospel, if God uses that gospel to open your eyes and give you faith, you will see. It's the same way. It comes from the same source, the same Saviour, the same servant, the same Son of God, the same means, the gospel. Behold, my servant. You're in exactly the same state. You're as sinful as that generation were. You have crucified him as that generation crucified him. But you hear the gospel today by Christ's preachers whom he sends, just as they heard it in that day. Just as they heard it from Christ, just as they heard it from his disciples whom he sent forth. When Christ was risen and ascended, when he had died, been buried, laid in the grave, ascended from the grave, risen, and then ascended up into glory so that he was no more on earth. He sent forth the apostles. They went to Jerusalem. They waited for the coming of the Spirit of God. The Spirit came down upon them and they preached the gospel. And on that day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, 3,000 heard and were saved. 3,000 had their blind eyes opened. And 3,000, though Christ was no longer present on the earth physically, they beheld God's servant. Just as you, by the gospel, by the power of God, through faith, if God is pleased to open your eyes, will behold God's servant. Behold my servant. Only faith can do this. Only faith allowed God's servant to see. Christ saw by faith. When Christ lived as a man in this earth, and he was no longer in the presence of God the Father, he beheld his Father by faith. And all Christ's children, his bride, his people who are brought to behold him and brought to behold the Father through him, do so by faith. The same faith. That faith they have by being united under him. The faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ. For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. That righteousness that gives it its power, it's revealed from faith to faith. From the faith of Christ to the faith of the elect, to the faith of the believer. If you see him, it's his faith. Have you got this faith? Have you beheld? You need faith. You're not born with faith. It's not natural to the heart of men. People speak of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You have no faith to put in Jesus Christ. You're not born with faith. You're born spiritually blind, spiritually dead. It's not a matter of making a decision of who you believe or what you believe. Or what you should put your natural faith in. It's a matter of being given faith. And you cannot have faith except you have Christ. Because faith comes by being given new life as you are born again of the Spirit. And that life is the life of Christ within. And that faith is the faith of Christ within. That emanates from his life and opens your eyes that you may see. Behold my servant. Behold my servant. My servant. Christ is God's servant. God sent him. God chose him. God was in him. God honors him. God sets him forth. God declares him. God says, "Hear my son, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Because God's soul delights in his Son. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He loves his Son. He loves his Son. And he sent forth his Son into this world to save his people from their sins. And he says unto this world, behold my Son. Naturally, fathers take pride in their sons, especially when their sons grow up and honour their parents and work hard and live uprightly and are a credit to them. Oh, they love their sons. And they see in their sons growing up that new generation. As the fathers get older and get weaker and are unable to do those things they might have longed to do, or they've had their time and they don't have the same opportunities, they see in their sons themselves, and they grow up and their sons take that family name and their sons go forth and achieve many things, and they take a pride in their sons and they say to others, look at my son. Look how well he's done. Look how well he's doing in school. Look how well he's done at university. Look how my son has grown and prospered. Look at the wife he has. Look at the family they have. Men take pride in their sons and they show them forth. Well, God loves his Son. He loves his Son. He says to this world, behold my Son. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hear my Son. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. In whom my soul delighteth, I love him, I rejoice in him. He's perfect. My son is righteous. He's honoured me and served me in all he does. He's my son. He's God's. My servant, my son. And he serves his God. And he brings glory to his God. Christ, God's servant, is not man's servant. He's not man's servant. Though he came to serve others, though he served men, though he washed the feet of the disciples, though he came and laid down his life for sinners, though all his life he came as that meek and lowly servant, ultimately he's God's servant, not first and foremost man's. He's not some figure that we can call upon to sort out our every ill. Whilst in our hearts we still have a hatred for him, his ways and his God. Many have an attitude towards Jesus Christ. Or they fashion a Jesus as an idol in a certain manner. They have this idea of a Jesus that's there to just hear their every cry. And make everything in this world, in their puny little inconsequential life in this world, they have a Jesus that they just pray to make everything right. Oh Jesus, I've got my exams, help me get through them. I've got this problem in life, sort it out. I feel a bit sick, heal me. I'm worried about the finance, give me some more money. They think he's some sort of Father Christmas that they can just call upon flippantly to answer every little inconsequential need in this life, as though this life and its ups and downs really mattered, whilst they turn a blind eye to the greater story, the greater picture of eternity, the great need of their soul, the great need of the depth of sin within that needs to be cleansed. They turn a blind eye to the cross and to what Christ suffered that he should deliver his people from their sins. They turn a blind eye to the God, that Christ served, that sovereign God, the eternal God, the righteous, holy God, before whom they must answer. They bring Jesus down to their level. Is that you? Do you take of the things of God? Do you take his Son? Do you take Jesus? Do you take the gospel? Do you take the law of God and bring it all down to your level? Do you say, oh, I'm going to live life in a certain way, and you take God's law and you bring it to your level and you say, oh, I keep it, when you break it every moment? But whatever you do becomes the standard. Do you take the Son of God and bring him down as some friend on your level that you address, as it were, with first name terms, Jesus? Never Lord, never Christ, never with any sense of how small you are and how great he is. Do you make him some sort of Father Christmas that can help you out in every trial and trouble? Or do you behold him as God's servant, in whom Almighty God's soul delights? The one whom God upholds, the one who puts his Spirit upon him, that he should bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Do you bow down before this God, this Saviour, this servant, in awe and wonder that the Son of God should take upon himself humanity and walk in this world in which you live in order that he should lay down his life? Does it fill you with wonder that God's Son should come to serve his God, to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin? He came as a priest, God's priest, called after the order of Melchizedek. He came as a priest. He came as a king, the king of Salem, bringing forth bread and wine. He came as a sacrifice. He was slain. The body, the bread was broken. The blood was shed, the wine was brought forth, and the priest took the bread and the wine and presented it before the Father and said, Lord God, I have redeemed my people from their sins. I have ransomed them from the grave. I have delivered the prisoner from the prison house. I have shone the light of the gospel into the darkness. I have caused the blind to see. Behold my servant. My servant. God chose him. My servant whom I uphold. Mine elect. Mine elect. I elected him. I chose him. I anointed him. This is my Son. This is the Saviour of sinners. This is my King, my priest. This is the sacrifice for sinners. This is the propitiation for their sins. This is my servant. God chose him. God anointed him. God sent him. God spake by him. God speaks by him. God sends him. God sends him today in his gospel. God speaks through him today by his gospel. God saves by him today through his gospel. He's God's servant. Have you beheld him? Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Mine elect. If you read through the whole of this chapter 42, that word and that fact runs through it. Christ is chosen. And there is a people who sat in darkness. who are chosen by God in him. A people whom God has chosen through his Son to redeem them and to make them to see. This chapter shows us that people who say they see, yet they are blind. That people who have turned against God. That people who have rebelled. And yet it shows a Saviour whom God has sent unto them and unto the world, to the Jew and to the Gentile, to deliver a people, his elect, chosen in Christ from all their sins. This election's at the core of this chapter. Chosen of God. There are those who are chosen, and there are those who are not chosen. There are those who are righteous in Christ, and there are those who are not righteous. There are those who see, who behold, and there are those who are blind. There are those who hear, and there are those who are deaf. There are those who make idols and graven images and bow down before them. And there are those who bow down before my servant, behold him by faith, a Saviour crucified for them. Election. Oh, praise God that he's chosen a people to deliver them out of the darkness. That he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Oh, do you know a God that's done this for you? And a God, a Saviour, who will never forsake you. Who will never forsake you. One thing you will learn in this world, time and time again, from the days of your youth until the days of your great age, are that there are many who make out to be your friends, who will let you down, who will turn against you, who will forsake you. One day they're your best friend, the next day they're your greatest enemy. They come and they go, they come and they go. But there are those friends you make that last. Occasionally you make friends that might last a lifetime. But there are none like this friend. A friend greater than a brother. None like this friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has said unto his own, his chosen, his elect, I will never forsake you. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Even when you offend me, I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. Even when you doubt me, even when your heart grows cold, even when you turn against me and let me down, even after I've saved you, even after I've delivered you from your sin, even after I've washed you in my blood, even though there will come those days when you will turn in darkness, when you will take your gaze away from me and look to the world around you and look to the things of this world and be cast down and doubt and let me down. And act like I'm not there. And act like I've done you wrong. Even though you might curse me again. Even though you might fall into the greatest of sins again. Whatever you might do, however you may stumble. For it is written that the righteous man falls 7 times. Even though you may stumble, like my servant David did. like that man after my own heart, that friend of mine. Even though David plunged into sin, I never forsook him, and I will never forsake thee. All whom I have chosen are mine unto the end. They are my sheep. They are in my hands, and none shall perish. None shall pluck them from my hands. They're mine. They're mine. These things will I do for my people and not forsake them. A bruised reed shall he not break. Do you feel like a bruised reed, a weak reed growing up by the riverside, and you're bruised and battered and the wind's broken you and you can't stand by your own strength? Well, this Saviour won't come and kick you down in your poverty. He won't break you. The smoking flax shall he not quench. When your heart's cold and it's just like there's just an ebb of a glow of an ember, just the weakest bit of smoke coming from you, the fire's all gone, the doubts have come in, the heart's grown cold, he shall not quench. He shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Nothing will discourage this servant, this Saviour. He may look upon his people. He may look upon his church. He may see trouble in his church. He may see how scattered his church is and how the wicked one and the world around prevails and tramples underfoot the gospel and despises his church in this earth. He may see the doubts and the fears of his people. He may see the world and the flesh in his people. He may see how weak their faith is. He may see the divisions and the troubles that come in amongst his people, how brother falls out with brother. He might see all the trouble, but none of it shall discourage him. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth and the isle shall wait for his law. He's building his church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, because he came as a Saviour, he came as a sacrifice, he died for all his people, and he wrought an everlasting, effectual, perfect salvation, and everyone for whom he died shall hear this gospel, shall be given faith, and shall behold God's servant and be saved and be gathered in that flock, in that kingdom, in that church, unto salvation forevermore. They will in the end be gathered around his throne in eternity to come. He shall not fail. Behold my servant. Behold my servant. Oh, what a servant the Lord Jesus Christ is. God's servant. He came to serve his God. He came to fulfill that everlasting covenant made between God and the Son, the Father and Son and the Spirit. He fulfilled it all. He serves. He thinks not of himself, but of others. We think of ourselves. Every day we think of ourselves, don't we? Don't you? Every day it's me, me, me. I want, I want, I want. Every day we're cross when what we want is crossed or prevented. I want this. Why can't I? Why do you get in my way? How we seek riches, how we seek pleasure, how we seek food, how we seek comfort, how we seek wealth. All for me. What self-serving creatures we are. And where the worst of sin, the worst of anger, the worst of selfishness emanates, it all flows from our evil, selfish hearts because we want. So much of our effort and our strength goes into serving ourselves, doesn't it? So much of your desire, your strength every day. You wake up in the morning and your thoughts are on what you're going to get. Not what you're going to do for others. Not what you're going to do for others. Not what you're going to do for this neighbour, that neighbour, this brother, that sister, this mother, that father. Not what you're going to do for God. Not what you're going to do for his servant. Where's your heart? Where's your desire? Where's your love? Esteem your brother greater than yourself. Serve others. Forgive others even as you have been forgiven. Seek not your own glory, but the glory of Jesus Christ. Behold my servant. This servant served only God and only his bride, his people, as he served that God. He served God, he served the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow. Take no thought for this and for that. How much effort we put into the earthly cares, but seek God and his kingdom. Behold, my servant, if your gaze, if your faith is fixed on Jesus Christ, everything else will fall into place. The troubles of this life, the trials, the tragedy will become nothing when you see your Saviour crucified in your place. He came to serve. And what's the greatest deed he did on this earth when he came? He laid down his life for his bride. He gave himself for his church. He gave himself because he loved her. He loved her who rejected him. He loved that people who hated him. And he gave himself that he might save them. Did he give himself for you? John, in the beginning of his gospel, when Christ comes to John the Baptist, John the Baptist there says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold my servant, behold the Lamb of God." He's God's Lamb. And his blood cleanseth from all sin. Oh sinner, do you feel your sin? Do you know the selfishness of your heart within? Do you know your rebellion? Do you know your angry heart? Do you know the pride? Do you know your sin? Well, behold the Lamb of God, whose blood cleanseth from all sin. All sin. In Luke chapter 9 and elsewhere in the Gospels, we read of the two disciples who were taken up with Christ to a mount. And they see Christ transfigured, and they see speaking unto Jesus Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets either side of him. All those who had prophesied of the coming of Christ, and here in the midst of the law on one side and the prophets on the other, figured by Moses and Elijah, there's Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour, God's servant. And as they behold Moses and Elijah fade from view, and they saw no man save Jesus only. Their faith beheld no man save Jesus only. The law faded from view. They didn't look to the law for salvation. They looked to Christ. The prophets faded from view because the prophets themselves were pointing to Christ. You may take the law and think you'll keep it, but it won't save you. You might rest in the scriptures and what they tell you of Christ, but all your knowledge of the scriptures, the prophets, the prophecy won't save you. The prophecies point you to Christ. Behold my servant. You must behold him. They saw no man save Jesus only. What are you looking at? What do you behold? Where is your gaze? Faith. God-given faith. Sees nothing but God's servant. In Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, we read of this faith. We read of the wonder of this faith. We read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We read that without faith it is impossible to believe. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We read of all those who followed God by faith. And we read in the beginning of chapter 12 this exhortation, this call to faith. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. O believer, you have a race set before you, a race in which you're called to run. Look at no man save Jesus only. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who gave himself for you. Behold my servant, mine elect. Behold my servant. Amen.